The federal government has enough trouble hiring people, especially young people and those just starting out. What with the complicated application process, the long wait times, the rules, it's hard to get millennials in the door. But once you do, how do you keep them? Joining me with some ideas, Mallory Barg-Bowman, Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. Mallory, great to have you on.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning.
And there's some evidence that millennials hired early during the Obama administration have not stayed. The average age has gone back up, and they don't seem to be sticking around. What's going on, do you think?
I think that's exactly right. Right now, only 6% of the federal workforce is under 30, and that compares just for comparison's sake, to 24% of the overall U.S. workforce. And actually, when you look at the percent under 25, it's even more dramatic. We're down less than 1% of the federal government. Folks come into government, they're excited about making a difference, but we do find that they don't stay. Last year, we did a study with Booz Allen Hamilton on the cyber workforce, and you know this is a critical need for the government. And when we talked to agencies like FBI and CIA, they said they were able to get talent. The appeal of working for the government was such that folks wanted to come and work in cyber positions. Pay was not all that far off between the private sector and the public sector for those entry-level positions. But after a bit of time, once folks have that credibility of having worked within government, they're able to leave government for higher pay and for jobs where sometimes they're feeling that they're more directly affecting the mission.
And I guess, too, the problem of millennials in the government maybe is the governmental process itself. I mean, it's a very regulated environment. And if they were also looking at Silicon Valley type of company or a startup or some software outfit with a foosball table, government is just not that.
And I guess it doesn't have to be a foosball table. So, a lot of individuals come to government because of the mission. They care about making our nation safer or protecting our parks or educating our children or keeping our water clean. They really want to impact the mission. And when we look at best places to work in the federal government, which, we do every year with Deloitte, we always use regression to map out what are the key drivers of satisfaction and commitment. And number one is always leadership. And number two is always skills mission match. So how strong do people feel that their senior leaders are? Do they inspire them? Do they reach out to them? Do they listen to them? And then the second is the skills mission match notion of how do I feel that my skills are being used in my organization? And I think that there is really an opportunity when individuals come into the workforce to engage them on both of those dynamics. When you look at the curve of satisfaction and commitment by years in an organization, it drops off dramatically after the first year. And frankly, it never gets back up there. So if you have an organization program focused on onboarding in the right way, you have that potential to extend that honeymoon period longer.
But is the government really all that different from the modern day private sector, where people do jump jobs and often jump jobs a lot within the first couple of years of their career before settling on somewhere that they really find is the match?
I don't think it is that different. And I think it's easier to transfer between agencies than leave government and come back into government. And I think we need to rethink sort of that entry and exit ramp inside and outside of government. I think it's going to become critical, particularly for our mission critical occupations. Again, going back to the cyber work that we did, we found that after a couple of years at the FBI, for example, somebody will leave to go to a Hewlett Packard or a Google, but then it's very hard to get them back into government at a higher level, recognizing fully the experience that they've gleaned from the private sector. And so we've proposed models such as a cyber reserve, sort of modeled after the military reservist, where folks who have skills, who have a clearance, who can easily be called upon when the government needs top talent. But the other thing is the government right at this moment really, really needs a strong cadre of individuals coming in. Right at this moment, 50% of employees in the senior executive service at the Department of Education, the Department of Justice, and the SSA are eligible to retire right at this moment. Within the next 10 years, that number skyrockets to about 90% of SES at almost every single agency. So there is a real need to build up expertise and a cadre of individuals who can lead these organizations over the next decade. So in some ways, it's a perfect match because organizations within the federal space need to build talent. And individuals want to be developed. They want to be engaged. So programs like mentoring programs, you know, development programs that rotate in new talent around the organization are really optimal for both engaging new employees as well as sort of building that succession planning into the organization.
We're speaking with Mallory Barg-Bowman, Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service, and you touched upon something I think is really important. And how good are agencies at rotating people among different types of things? We talked about cybersecurity, but what if someone is a generalist and they want maybe they're out, they're suited for HR, or maybe they're suited for program management? How good are agencies at rotating people so that they can find the correct niche?
One thing, rotations are something that don't happen frequently in government. The administration's new executive order around the senior executive mandates that about 12% of SES government-wide rotate. When you realize that that was the original vision for the SES cadre, that's a pretty low bar to aspire towards. There are some fields, the intelligence community, the military, are very good at rotating individuals. But one thing that I'm talking about here is that it's not just for the senior talent. It's for the GS 14 through 15, the GS 9, even the GS 7, as they're building their career, as they're building their expertise, rotating them around, you know, subcomponents within the same department or between departments. That's one of the models that's been part of the PMF program and is really outstanding. And frankly, was one of the things that folks learn the most from, of when they have a chance to gain real experience elsewhere, then it's a real developmental opportunity. And that's one thing that Pathways, with the focus on the PMF program, with the focus on development, has really tried to build.
The other issue then is interagency rotation, and that's probably even tougher than interdiscipline rotation within a given agency.
I think so. I mean, and the problems are in a lot of places. First, it's finding the opportunity and getting folks to agree to it. It's also making sure that the performance management system sync up. But if there's a shared value proposition that is mutually beneficial for both parties, there's no reason this can't work. And if across the government enterprise we're committed to getting top talent, retaining top talent at all levels of people's career, there's no reason that rotation shouldn't be part of that vision. And look, at rotating people inside and outside of government. I knew a couple folks who, when they were in the PMF program, rotated to organizations like Brookings, or folks come to the partnership on an IPA. These are great development opportunities that work for both organizations.
And so how can this be made to happen? Because it doesn't really strike me that the Office of Personnel Management has the juice to cause this to happen throughout the government.
I know that there are efforts within OPM to build a portal of opportunities. I also think in some cases it doesn't have to be at the organization level. I think that in some cases individual supervisors can recognize the need or the opportunity for their staff and try to find opportunities for them to move within the organization. But also things like the PMF program, encouraging it within the organization, making sure that the PMFs have the actual opportunity to rotate. I know that sometimes once folks get into their organization, they're so good that folks don't want to let them rotate, but really seeing it as a long-term solution rather than a short-term problem is a big piece there.
So maybe this is something that President Trumpen or Klimp could take on?
This is something that's going to have to be an ongoing issue for whomever ends up in office. So it's, you know, the next administration, whomever it is going to have the right talent. And, you know, one thing that the partnership through our Center for Presidential Transitions has been doing is focusing a lot on, you know, making sure that the campaigns are already thinking about their transition plans, making sure that they're already thinking about their management agenda and also who's going to be in those top positions as they move forward. And, you know, one of those things that those leaders are going to have to confront on day one is how do they make sure that they have the talent they need and how do they sustain that talent?
Deputy Assistant Secretary for Millennials.
Right. I don't know that we need another chief, but I think that it's just part of the whole strategy. You know, if you know, 50% of your workforce is able to walk out the door right now, and, you know, 90% is going to be eligible to walk out in the next decade, you know, and particularly if your top leaders, you really need to think about how you're managing your workforce. It's really that strategic workforce planning that we at the partnership talk about a lot, of thinking about what are your needs now, what are your needs going to be moving forward, and how do you have the talent that you need.
Mallory Barg Bowman is Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.